You know, there are folks that are your friends and there are folks who are your close friends. You know what I mean? They say that most of us will have a number of friends in our lifetime, but only four or five that will just really count in our lives. And I found the same thing is true about writers. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a reader. I like to sit down and I like to read. I like to read books that entertain me, but more than that, I like to read books that challenge me and inspire me and inform me and challenge me in my walk with Christ. And there are a handful of writers that, if they've written it, I want to read it. For instance, as far as I'm concerned, this coming week is Christmas, because on Thursday, I get the book called What If, written by Charles Swindoll, and it's about dealing with life when God does something that's completely unexpected. If Swindoll writes it, I'm going to read it, because it's going to challenge me in a practical way. I'm that way about John Ortberg, who's written some incredible books, and as soon as they come out, I buy them and I read them. And I'm that way about the books of some folks who have already come on and passed away. Harrison and I were just talking the other day, and I told him, if you ever find a book by Ray Steadman, pick it up and read it. Ray Steadman was pastor of the Peninsula Bible Church back in the 70s and 80s, and anything he writes is solid gold as far as I'm concerned. I feel that way about Peter Marshall. I feel that way about Ray Pritchard and a handful of others whose lives have touched mine in powerful ways. But one of the writers that I really, really enjoy is a man named John Stott. John Stott was an incredible follower of Jesus. He was an English pastor and theologian. This is how effective his ministry was. He grew up in All Souls Church in England. When he was 24 years old, he was ordained as a deacon of that church. 5 years later, he became a minister in that church. A few years after that, he became its pastor. And he led that church until his retirement. After he retired, he stayed right there at All Souls and became the pastor emeritus and served that church until the day he died. One church his entire lifetime. He was a powerful voice for the Christian faith. He's often described as the British Billy Graham or as a modern-day C.S. Lewis because he wrote books and preached sermons that were thoughtful and compelling and powerful. And some of his books have truly spoken to my life. If you have a chance, read The Cross of Christ by John Stott. It is life-changing. Read Why I Am a Christian by John Stott. And any of a number of books that could be life-changing for you. A little while back, I came across one of his smaller books. One that's not all that well known and not all that popular, but I found it compelling. The name of the book is Life in Christ. And in Life in Christ, John Stott argues that some of the biggest words in the Bible are some of the smallest words because they describe our relationship with Jesus. And it reminds us that it is the prepositions that make all of the difference. And I read that book and I've thought about that and I have pondered for some time about preaching a series of messages based on that idea. And that's what I'm going to be doing for the next 7 or 8 weeks. We're going to talk about how our relationship with Jesus is defined by the prepositions. That we are of Christ, that we are through Christ, that we are to Christ, we are for Christ, we are unto Christ. And this morning, I'm going to begin by talking about what it means to be found in Christ. So I hope this series is going to bless your heart, because we're going to be looking together at what our relationship with the Lord is like because of the little words. I hope you enjoy this series we're going to do together. So what does it mean to say you were found in Christ? That's what we read together just a few moments ago in Philippians. That I may gain Christ and be found in Him. In Him. What does it mean to say you were found in Christ? Well, let's look together at what the Bible has to say. And the first thing it tells us is this. Your only hope for salvation is in Christ. Jesus of Nazareth declared, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So here's the question this morning. What does it mean to call yourself a Christian? This morning, if I ask for a show of hands, who calls himself a Christian in here? Probably every hand in the building would be raised. If not, almost all of them would be. But if we sat down and began to talk about, discuss, what does it mean when you call yourself a Christian, we might find out that people have different ways of thinking about what it means to call yourself a believer in Jesus. For some people, they would say, well, of course I go to church. I'm a Christian. I go to church. I go to church all the time. I go to church when I don't have to. Obviously, I'm a Christian. Some people say, obviously I'm a Christian, not because I go to church, but because I have a church I can point to and say, yeah, that's my home church. My parents went there. My grandparents went there. That's my church. I'm a Christian. Some people would say, I know I'm a Christian because I can remember the day when I was baptized. I remember that I went under the water and I came up again, and because of that, I know I'm a believer. Some people would say, I know I'm a Christian because that's how I define myself. I just say that to the world at large. You want to know who I am? I'm a Christian. Some people would say, I'm a Christian because, after all, I do good things. I try to be a good person, and I'm a moral person, and so I'm a Christian. But the Bible says being a Christian is about where your identity is found. It's not about the things that are going on that are external to you. It's about what God is doing within you. What does it say? It says you are called to be found in Christ. If I'm a Christian, that means because I heard his call, I heard it deep, I heard it personally, and I know I was called to be in Christ. It means that you draw your identity from your relationship with Jesus. When I think about who I am and what I am, the most important thing that I do is I begin with my relationship with Christ because I am a Christian. You know how you can tell if people define themselves by their identity in Christ? It is because when you talk to them about spiritual things, when you talk to them about Christian beliefs, they talk about it very naturally. They can talk about their relationship with Jesus, and it's not like, okay, let me shift into my church voice so I can talk to you about spiritual things. Instead, they talk about their relationship with Jesus just like they do everything else that's going on in their lives, because their identity emerges from the fact that I am found in Christ. I am a believer in him. I identify with Jesus. This past weekend was a significant weekend in the state of Alabama because something happened. It happens this time every year. What happens? Some of us pull out our orange and our blue and we put it on and we wear it wherever we go. Some of us pulled out our crimson and white and we pulled it out and we put it on and we're going to wear it wherever we go. Let me let you in on a secret. And in those times when, as a pastor, because I can't take sides, but something really significant happened yesterday. I have a white dress shirt that my son gave me years ago, and it has a little crimson A right there. Whether you know it or not, George, I'm wearing it. I don't know. What am I saying? I'm saying at this time of year, Alabamians as a whole identify ourselves by what colors we wear, by what teams we support. Now, I know that we've also got our Samford red and blue, and that's really, really important. We've got our UAB gold and green, and that's really, really important. But the truth is, we define ourselves by who we identify with. Listen to me. Being a fan is a really good thing. I love watching ball as much as anybody. I was up as late as any of you were last night. But it's not something you can build your life around. Now, that's a shock for some of these folks, because you find some people, and what do they talk about when they talk about the football team that they watched yesterday? They don't say, didn't they play a good game? Wasn't that a lot of fun to watch? I enjoyed seeing what they were doing. What do you hear? Boy, when we made that touchdown, when we got out there on the field and we knocked those guys wide, we weren't out there. They were. But we identify so heavily, you feel like, hey, this is me. That's the way we're supposed to feel about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in Christ. Now listen, that doesn't mean we need to wear Jesus colors. I don't know what they are. It doesn't mean that we always have to have some kind of Christian t-shirt or some kind of Christian something that just identifies to the world, I'm a follower of Jesus. It does mean that we always have to live our lives, relate to others, make choices, take actions, so that when people see us, they recognize we live out of a center, and that center is the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be found in Him. When you're saved, you are bound to Him, identified with Him, found in Him. You're united with Christ through trust in Him. And you have a close personal relationship with Him. That is the distinguishing mark of the Christian church. Of all of the religions on the face of this planet, we are the only ones who define ourselves by our relationship with the Creator of our faith. You will never hear a Buddhist say, I know Buddha. You'll never hear a Muslim say, I know Muhammad. You'll never hear a Confucian say, I have a personal relationship with Confucius. But for a believer, it is normal to say you know Christ and you have a personal relationship with Him. In fact, we believe that so deeply that we believe until you have that personal relationship, you cannot call yourself a Christian believer. I find myself in Him. How does this happen? Jesus says, whoever, and that means you, believes in Him. In Him. Philippians says you must be found in Christ. All of salvation is determined by where you are in Christ. And that's important to know. But that's not all we need to know. We also need to know this. And you come to know Christ personally, but you're called to live in Christ. We're called to live in Christ together. We each know Him individually and personally, but we're not supposed to live out our Christian lives individually and personally. You know, sometimes you will hear somebody say, I can be a Christian, but I don't need a church. I can live out my Christian faith all by myself. I can read the Bible by myself. I can pray by myself. I can worship by myself. I can do it all by myself. And you can. But why would you want to? I can guarantee you one thing. There's not one Christian out there trying to live their faith by themselves that's going to be joining together to enjoy a dinner together after service is over this morning. We are called to know Him in community. Being found in Christ is not a solitary experience. When you are in Him, you are part of the family of Christ. You are called to become part of the body of Christ. When Jesus talks about His church, He talks about His people gathered together. He doesn't talk about His scattered flock. He talks about bringing them in and putting them in one place and letting them be together under His protection and His leadership and His love. We are called to be part of the family of God. That's why it's so important to make commitments like church membership. You know, it's an easy thing to say in any church, anywhere, well, you know, I don't have to join that church. I can attend. I can go every Sunday. There's nobody that will tell me there are things I can do and there are things I can't do. I'm just like everybody else. I don't really know that I need to walk an aisle and join the church. But when you do that, you're saying, I want to be part of this family. I want to be part of the body of Christ that meets at First Baptist Church. I don't want to just be somebody who attends. I want to be somebody who is involved, who is a part. And that's why it's important to make that decision. Listen to what the Bible says. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are one in Christ Jesus. God calls us all to live our lives together in Christ. What matters to Him has nothing to do with who we are externally and everything to do with who we are spiritually. We're all different, but in Christ, we're all one. I look around this room and we have different personalities and different gifts and different ideas and dreams and different abilities. A little while ago, Will asked me, so what did you bring for lunch today? What did you and Miss Judith bring for lunch today? And I said, Will, I don't know. I carried the little packet downstairs and put it there. I know we brought something. I don't have the gift to decide what we're going to eat, and especially what we're going to ask other people to eat that came from my hand. I don't have that gift. I'm so glad to be part of a family where I've got a wife who's a really good cook, and whatever it is, it's going to be good down there. And don't ask me, so which one of these is yours? Because I don't know. But I know it's good. We all have gifts. And we all come together in Christ. Here's the thing. The Bible says because we are in Christ, we don't focus on things that separate us. We don't focus on things that make us different from one another. We don't focus on the things that would cause us to go in different directions. Instead, we recognize it is Christ Jesus that makes us one. It is Christ Jesus that brings us together. No matter who you are, no matter what your age may be, no matter where you came from, no matter what your background, the Bible reminds us we are all one in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ is to love Him together, to serve Him together, and to build up one another in love. We are called to live in Christ. Then the Bible says this, and in Christ is the way to abundant life. Jesus Himself described what it means to be found in Him when He declared, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Being in Christ opens the door for you to experience life according to His perfect plan. When I am in Christ, I am becoming who God had in mind for me to be. No wonder Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What is Paul trying to say? He's saying the abundant life is the place where the things that dragged you down are replaced by the things that can build you up in Christ. I am not the person I wish I was, but I can be a different person in Christ. I struggle with the grasp of sin, but I don't have to fall because I am in Christ. I'm not sure exactly how to live out my life, but I know I can live my life with purpose if I find myself in Christ. God's plan for each of us is abundance, not an abundance of possessions, but an abundance of that which comes from being right with Jesus. an abundance of mercy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of purpose, an abundance of hope, an abundance of trust, an abundance of promise. All of that is promised to us when we are found in Christ. And the Lord wants to give you that abundant life that is only found in Him. One last thing, very quickly. Living in Christ is always a response. What do I mean by that? Christ takes the initiative. If I'm going to be in Him, it's going to be because He invites me in. The great news is, and He invites all of us in. But He reaches out to us individually at a particular time, in a particular instance, in a particular way, so that you know that's Jesus and He's talking to me. I am in Christ. But the Bible also says this: He takes the initiative, but you are responsible for how you respond. I have to make my own decision to be in Christ. Today, you could come to my house. You could knock on my door. I could open the door wide and say, "You are so welcome. Come on in." But what do you have to do? You have to decide, am I willing to cross the threshold? Am I willing to step in and enter into your house? In the same way, Christ Jesus invites us in. But you have to make your own decision. He won't reach out and pull you through the door. He won't go behind you and push you through the door. He will not force you through the door. You decide, I am willing to cross the threshold. I am willing to trust the Lord. Paul stated his commitment clearly. He wanted to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. And I guess that's the decision you make today. Are you ready to be found in Him? Not because of yourself, but because of Him and what He's done in your life. Maybe you're here, you're not a believer. Maybe you're one of those folks I talked about earlier who says, well, I would always define myself as a Christian because, after all, I've gone to church, I've done the right things, I've done what people told me I should do. But if you're honest, you have to say, but I never entered into a personal relationship with Jesus. Maybe today is the day when you need to do that. When we stand in a moment and we sing an invitation hymn, I'm going to be here on one aisle. Dr. Hutchins is going to be on the other. And all you got to do is come to the front and just say, I am ready to come to know Jesus. We would love to help introduce you to Him. Or maybe you're here and you're thinking, God is telling me this is the place where I want you to be part of the body of Christ. And today, I just want to make a commitment. I want to join the church, be part of what God is doing. And maybe you need to come. Maybe there's another reason. Maybe there's a decision you need to make. If you need to come, I want to invite you. We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. As God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand.